Some announcements, but first I would like to ask for some special prayer for a family tonight, today, and for the next week or so. A very close friend of mine since high school went to be with the Lord yesterday, and 2 days ago was his 52nd birthday. So his family is in dear pain. And I would like for the Rickman family to be in your prayers. And they have to figure out how to traverse life without Gene. And so keep his family in prayer, please. I found out late last night, and he had passed away yesterday morning. So I don't know any details on how. So, you know, just please keep the Rickman family in prayer. Other than that, our announcements are, another thing before I get to this. Tomorrow, I will not be in my office. I have church business I got to take care of down in Reno, and that's going to be an all-day process. If you need to reach me, though, call me. My phone number is right here in the bulletin. Give me a call if you're in need of me. I am still going to be available. I have hands-free talking on in the car, so I can still be there for you. I just won't be here, if that makes any sense. All right, so those two items are taken care of. Now for the regular announcements that are actually in this thing. All right, picture day is coming up. Now picture day is, you know, we're going to take pictures of everybody for the new church directory. We're going to update it completely. And so picture day is coming February 4th, right after church service. If you cannot have your picture taken during that time, then contact Lisa Bates. She is the church photographer and my beautiful bride. So give her a call and go ahead and reschedule for your photos. And her phone number is right here in the directory. So plan on Sunday, February 4th, right after church. But if you can't do that, give Lisa a call and schedule for your photo. And it is free. So don't think that, you know, we're going to charge you. We're not. Church council meeting is immediately after church service on February 11th. And so we got some stuff to take care of and stuff to talk about. And I'll see y'all then. The new women's Bible study, there was only one response for an evening Bible study for women. So it is on hold for now until further notice. If you have other ideas on when you would like to have it, please get with Joanne and let that be known so that she can coordinate the new Bible study. Also, the men's Bible study, at this moment, at this time, the men's Bible study is being placed on hold. Dwight and myself are doing a full restructure of it, and we are going to change the day and everything to make it more available for the men. And the restructuring is going to focus on the mighty men that God calls us to be. So, for you men, please come and see me or Dwight. Let us know what day and time is best for you. And so that way we can coordinate this and redesign this according for you, because it is for you that we're doing this. So please let us know. But until then, men's Bible study has been put on hold. I believe that's all of the announcements. Is there anybody, any other announcements that I don't know about? Oh, Ryan, yes. Praise God. Absolutely. Keep in prayer for the people who just gave to the Lottie Moon. To have the Lord bless them for their giving. And for those of you who gave, thank you very much to all of you. All right. Let us continue our service.
Psalm 148, 13 and 14b. Let everything in heaven above and earth below praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Today that all of these songs, I just have this picture in my mind of people heading to church and just beckoning people, come worship the King. So anyway, Psalm 86:8-10. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God.
Amen. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. And I did forget to mention this earlier. If you are visiting, there is a connect card, I guess you can call it. Fill that card out and then let me know. That way it lets me know. Yep, Joanne has the card right there. That way it lets me know that you are visiting, and I'll give you a call, and maybe we'll go get some coffee and just talk, you know. And but I can't do that if I don't have a way to contact you. So my treat, I'll take you to coffee, no problem. But I want to get to know you. And, you know, the Lord guides people here, and I want to get to know the people that the Lord brings to us. So please fill out a connect card. And so, anyways, today, I'm sorry? Okay, excellent. And yes, put it in the offering box. Thank you. I knew I was forgetting something. That's why I kind of just stalled. Today is a glorious morning. Even with the roads and the conditions that it's in, it is still a glorious morning, and I praise God for each and every one of you to be able to be here safely. And I will continue praying for those, for all of you to be able to travel safely to get home and throughout the rest of your week. Now, last week, we looked at how the creation event of our universe has placed life itself into a cadence or a rhythm. And we have experienced times in this life when our cadence for our life has not been the rhythm or the groove that God has designed it to be. Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that there are times that you have felt like you were out of sync with God, out of his groove, so to speak, where it seemed like everything was happening all around you with no rhyme or reason? And whether it be good or whether it be bad, you could not figure it out. You didn't know why things were happening and why you felt out of place. That's what it means to fall out of cadence with God. You are no longer in the groove. You feel out of place. And we've all experienced this throughout our lives. Even I experience it from time to time. I know that I have felt at times to be completely out of sync with God's majestic symphony of life. I mentioned three categories that, in my opinion, contributes to the cadence of human existence. Now, those three categories last week that we talked about, I'm, for the sake of this illustration, I'm going to call those categories the three P's. You have personhood, you have performance, and then you have passion. Now, one thing that we have been discussing in Sunday school last week and this week is passion. You have to have passion in this life. But as you can tell, though, these three categories are not necessarily faith-based. They are human-based. Each person follows each of these categories throughout their entire life, whether they know Jesus or if they don't. And let's kind of take a different view on those three categories. And let's look at them scripturally. Let's take a scriptural look, and today we will look at personhood. What exactly is personhood? It's not a word that is common in our vocabulary. Well, personhood, according to Webster's dictionary, is the quality or condition of being an individual person. Okay. As you can see, though, personhood applies to every person on the face of this earth. It doesn't have to be non-scriptural. It doesn't have to be scriptural, but it is. And that's where I would like to bring that out today, to show the scriptural aspect of personhood for every human being. How can these categories translate in a faith-based application? Well, the title of today's message is Living with the Spirit. And we will be in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 to 47. Now, I will be reading from the New King James. Now, I promise you, 14 to 47 will go by very quickly. So don't get too worried that I'm keeping you here till 2 o'clock. Not going to happen. Before we can fully immerse ourselves into this, we need a little context, backstory, so to speak, of the information we're going to be looking at. It was early in the morning on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival, remembering the day that Moses received the law. Jerusalem was filled with, and we can find this in Acts 2:5. It was filled with, and there were dwellings in Jerusalem, Jewish, devout men from every nation under heaven. So we are seeing that Jerusalem was filled with devout men of the Jewish faith. 120 disciples of Jesus were gathered around in what is called the upper room when something that sounded like the rushing of a mighty wind, but not really wind, but it sounded like wind. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you have thought you heard something that was, you know, wind, that whoosh sound, but the wind was still? That's what we're experiencing here. It filled that upper room where they were sitting. Tongues like fire. Now, like fire, but not really like fire. You know, came to each of those people. They all began to praise God in different languages. And people heard it and began to gather around. They heard these Galileans speaking in not only their native tongues, but other tongues also. Tongues of other nations. 15 different nations to be exact. And everyone was confused. How are these people able to fluently speak a language that didn't belong to them, that they had never experienced before? And so they were confused. Many of them were amazed and wondered what this meant. And others just thought that they were drunk, that there was just something else going on. Now, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 to 47, goes quite deep into this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." He says it's 9 a.m. in the morning, basically. And nobody is drunk. This is a cultural issue. You know, you're not allowed to drink in the morning according to the culture. And so people are starting to wonder, okay, are you drunk? You're doing things you're not usually doing. Are you drunk? Are you going against our culture? Are you going against the rules? No. This is a day of celebration. And I am sure that there will be people drinking, but in the Jewish culture, it is not 9 a.m. in the morning. It is later on in the day. Continuing, verse 16. Can you please stand for the next few verses? Verse 16. But this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may be seated. And so we're experiencing in the upper room right now, we're experiencing what? The Holy Spirit of God coming upon every person in that room. This is something that has never been experienced before. This is something that is taking everybody by surprise. But this is also not long after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. And in fact, if memory serves me correctly, this is just a few days after he ascended into heaven. After being on this earth, after being resurrected, mind you, for 40 days, teaching the word of God to a multitude of 5,000 to 10,000 people. We are seeing the Holy Spirit of God coming upon his disciples in such a way that nobody knows what's happening. Now, this shouldn't surprise any of us. This is what we have been waiting for, isn't it? Humanity had been waiting for this. This is going to happen in the day of the Messiah. And just as the kingdom of God is twofold, we will someday live in the kingdom of God, as we know to be heaven. But we can also live in the kingdom of God right now here on earth. You see, once we give our life to Christ and accept him into our life, we are not only saved, but we instantaneously become citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we can utilize that citizenship here on earth also. We don't have to wait until we are called home by God to enjoy the citizenship of heaven. If we choose to allow God to rule and reign in our life, we will be living as citizens of the kingdom. In Hebrew, though, the last days were equated to the time of the Messiah. Now, we are living in the last days right now. Now, how many of those days? Nobody knows. And I am not even going to try to tell you. I think, no. Nobody knows, but I guarantee you, you look in the book of Revelation and you will see what is happening in our world today in Revelation. And the book of Revelation is an account of what is to come in the last days. So if you don't agree with what I have just said, I implore you, come speak with me with your Bible. I will only tell truth to everyone. I won't make things up, and if I do, I will always say in my opinion first. But I can guarantee you this is not my opinion. This is the word of God playing out in our life right now, live and in color. And it's not from New York City. He has the attention of the crowd in the upper room right now. And this kind makes sense. But how did we miss the Messiah? Now, I say we, because when it comes down to it, you cannot deny you are just as guilty as the first century Jews for missing Messiah. We carry that guilt, that misstep in our lives today. Let's look at verse 22 of our text. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. How did we miss Messiah when all of this is happening in front of our eyes? When you are seeing miracles play out, how can you not recognize that that is from God, that that is the Messiah? But this is cool if you think about it. And as I am teaching, I am doing my best to explain the miracles of Jesus. These people were all very aware of these miracles. They had seen them. They had heard about them from someone who had either seen them or had the miracle performed on them. They probably knew someone in that experience level. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be held by it. No matter how we want to look at this, we killed Jesus. You killed Jesus. I killed Jesus. And that is probably the hardest pill to swallow. And it's true. And I will have a message on that next week to explain it in full detail. But that was all part of God's plan, is that we killed Jesus. He let us kill him. He told us three times before we got to the city that he was going to die and be raised again. And this explains the empty tomb. Nothing else. Now Jesus drops a huge bomb on them. He is going to quote their hero, the greatest Jewish king to ever live under his reign, and they were in charge. He drew up the plans for the temple, and his son built it. He is going to quote King David. And there will be a hush that falls over this entire crowd. Verse 25, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Are you seeing what he's showing us right now? The greatest hero of the Jewish faith, King David, when he died, his body is still here. But Jesus Christ is risen, and his tomb is empty. And I know people who have been there and have taken pictures of it, and it's still there. Those same people went to the tomb of Jesus Christ, and it is wide open for everyone to walk into and see that it is empty. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He is quoting Psalm chapter 16. And now he is saying, even David said that the Holy One of God will be raised from the dead. David himself was promised that someone from his line, from his lineage, would be the Messiah. Don't you see that the prophets and our great King have always talked about this day? They had been preparing us for the day that Jesus would arrive. But we weren't listening. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, quoting from Psalm 110, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. 35, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let's put this into a greater perspective. Outside of you killed Jesus, you killed God and the Messiah in the same action. Because we are being told here that Jesus was God. And you see, David wrote that God was called the Messiah, that he called Messiah God. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Could you imagine? I mean, I'm sure you're feeling this right now, since I just told you, you killed God. That should cut you to the heart. That should tear you apart. And I can see that it is. Because that's the truth of the matter. We all killed God here on earth. I have never had anyone interrupt any of my sermons, honestly. But here we're seeing somebody interrupt, saying, what shall we do? Now, if someone should interrupt me with a question like that, I would be happy to be able to answer that question in front of everyone. Now, I'm not saying, please, no, I'm not saying interrupt me. No. Not at all. But if it should happen, I'll be ready, because God will give me the words that are needed to be said at that moment. But what a great sermon this was. The crowd is overwhelmed. Peter just made sense of the last 3 years and an empty tomb within a matter of moments. He just showed them through their own prophets and their own King David what they had been waiting for and that they had missed it the whole time. So if they messed up this badly, what are they supposed to do? And that's why the question was raised. Verse 38 of our text. Then Peter said to them, "Repent," which means to turn away from what you are doing and where you are going in your life, to take a complete 180-degree turn and to leave that behind. Continuing in text. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Let me show you where this took place. The upper room. This is the cenacle. It is the place of dining in Jerusalem, attached to the temple. This may have been where Jesus and the 12 had their Last Supper. I'm not sure. I'm not positive. I've never been there. I can't tell you if it is. But this is believed to be the location. I've had other people say that they don't think that's the location, that it's a separate one. Again, please research this yourself, okay? After Jesus ascended into heaven, Luke says in Luke 24, 52 and 53, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." And then Luke says this in Acts 1:13, the first part. "And when they had entered, they went up into the room where they were staying." Now, people just assume that this upper room is where they had the Last Supper. But that's not what the Bible says. See, this upper room may also be a place where they are all sleeping, because it states this is where they are staying. So it may be kind of like in boot camp, okay? In boot camp, you've got, 80 beds lined the wall. We're sleeping in the same room. It's probably something like that. But it has to be a huge room, because we are having 120 disciples in this room at the same time experiencing this situation. So it's got to be a large room. Now, the Temple Mount is roughly 37 acres in diameter. Okay? The courtyard of the Gentiles is huge. And it would have been full of people on Pentecost morning, okay? It's so to speak, the gathering place of the temple, okay? And then you have the southern steps, which place Peter, it places Peter there. And he could have been teaching to 10,000 people at that location. It's large enough for that to be true. Now, there's a place for ceremonial washing before that you enter into the temple in front of the south wall steps. And this could be the location where they baptized 3,000 people. It's very possible. Plus, there is the Siloam Pool, which is only 100 feet away. That could also be a possibility. But here's the part that I actually want you to see. Verse 42 of our text. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, at the beginning of that portion of text, it said that they all feared God. What do they mean with the word fear? Reverence. They all had reverence for God. Not being scared of God. Not being afraid of what was happening at that moment. But they instantaneously, every single one of them, had full respect, love, admiration, and reverence for God. Seven specific reactions that we have to employ and exemplify when we are truly living in the Spirit of God. Number one, God's people want to learn about Him. Each and every day, when we are truly one with the Holy Spirit, there is an overwhelming need for His Word daily. You will crave it. You will think nothing more than wanting to learn more and more about His Word for your life and for the life of everybody around you. Number two, God's people want to be with each other. We want to be around each other. We want to fellowship. We are always on the understanding that we are all supposed to fellowship with one another in this journey of being a Christ-like person. But there are specific reasons for that. Besides what those reasons are, the most important reason is because it is fully scriptural. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Scripture is telling us to be together. To be together to worship, to be together to praise, to be together to learn what His Word says. We are to fellowship with each other. Now the number, number three is the miraculous occurs. John chapter 14 verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That was Jesus speaking, by the way. Everyone wants to see the big miracles in life. People want to see other people being healed. They want to see diseases getting taken away. They want to see mountains being moved. They want to see demon possessions being pulled out of people. They want to see this. But what we often overlook is the more amazing miracles of life. Like the hopeless being given hope. The lost that are being saved. The broken marriages that are being restored. Children born into a life of despair being given a chance to live with joy. The alcoholic who gets sober and stays that way. The drug addict that is delivered from their addictions. Those are all miracles that we can witness every day if we have our eyes open. I want to see these miracles in this community. I want to see each of these miracles happening to the people of this community. The fourth reaction that we have to exemplify is the church is unified. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter who they are. We are to love them as Jesus loved us, as Jesus loves us. He expressed his heart, and we must share in that. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. "I do not pray for these things alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that." Satan has a multifaceted job, but his focus is to cause division and hatred. To splinter the church through denominations and minor differences in doctrines or minor differences in the practices. And that's what we are seeing happening in today's world. God's church has been fractured, and it is up to us to still love them as Jesus loves us. God's desire is for all of his children to be unified. Romans 12:5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Ephesians 4:3. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That is the NIV edition. I kind of like that one a little bit better. Let me read that again. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Peter 3:8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." Number 5, generosity abounds. Now later on, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed each as anyone had need." Exodus 36:5. "And they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.'" I'm going to stop here, right here. I still got a little bit too much to go through, and it's getting late. We may revisit this another time. But in conclusion right now, as we conclude these services, I'm going to ask you a question. And I want each person to really think about this. Are you focused on your earthly personhood? Or are you living with the Spirit? Really focus that question on your life. And I would like everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, there may be some people here or watching online that may be realizing that they are too focused on their earthly personhood. It is now time to give yourself up and to focus on God and to have Him show you how to change your personhood from an earthly one to a heavenly one. If this is you, raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. There's no shame in this. Everyone falls into this trap. And if you are currently there, raise your hand. Bring it to God and allow Him to take it away. There may be some people here that just having a hard time understanding the difference between earthly personhood and citizenship of the kingdom. If your life focus has been on your earthly life, raise your hand. Let's take the first step in accepting that there is a better way. If you're here today and you're in need of a major change in your life cadence, raise your hand. Give it to God. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here today and you are in need of Jesus for your life, Jesus has not been a part of your life, or it had in the while back, but you have somehow lost your focus. And you are ready to call Him your Lord and Savior today. Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. As our worship team prepares to play our next song, I'm going to ask those who are ready to accept Jesus for changing their cadence for their life to come forward and pray for those spiritual changes at His altar. Come to the feet of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and submit yourself to Him as your boss. He is the only person who can bring you back into the cadence of His design. Heavenly Father, I lift up those people who raise their hands to You. They are in need of You to help them pull them out of whatever mess that is called life. I ask that You show them the comfort, the grace, and the forgiveness that they are in need of today and every day. Be with those who struggle with following the correct path to their spiritual personhood, and that You guide them according to Your plan. Be with every member of our church. Keep them safe during these snowstorms. Guide them in ways to strengthen their life with You. In the name of Jesus, amen. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. Amen. And I pray that you have a blessed week.
1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you.